If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Hi, I'm Sean Evans from Hot Ones, and I want to tell you about YouTube Premium. It has offline downloads, so you can watch without Wi-Fi. Background play, so you can lock your phone, and it still plays, baby. Oh, and it is completely ad-free. Yes, I said it, ad-free. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime.
It'll drip down. Eventually, it'll make its way back down to the coffee. Chocolate cold foam is my favorite. I remember the first time I had chocolate cold foam. We were on the road. We were at a Starbucks in a grocery store. It was me, you, Mal. I don't even think Alex was a part of the team yet. But I remember tasting it and it being so good that I had to bring you and Mal over to come and taste it.
You did do that.
Remember? That's when I fell in love with chocolate cold foam.
Do my bangs look weird?
No. You're using the headphones as a headband?
A little bit,
to
yeah.
To keep them back? That's cute. Yeah. I put Rosie in a headband this weekend. I had to trick her into putting it on. She wouldn't put it on. She doesn't like to agree to do things. But if I sneakily do it, then she's like, oh, okay, I like it. So, like, the headband, she would not put it on. But then I was like, all right, we'll sit down so I could do your hair and then put on a show. We always put on a show when we do our hair.
Oh.
And because I need her to stay still for as much as possible. Even though toddlers don't stay still when they're watching a program. They're, like, all over the place. But at least she's looking in the same direction.
Yeah, I recorded her sitting here earlier when I was setting up and she just...
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, wow, you should get into yoga, maybe.
She loves yoga. They watch a toddler yoga on YouTube sometimes. Anyway, so yeah. I sneakily put the headband on her, and she liked it, and she wore it all day. And I was like, you look so cute with this little headband. So.
I like that you said she doesn't like to agree to things.
She does not. She does not like to agree. Let's do this. And she'll be like, no, let's do this. And it's the same thing you just said. You're like, oh. Cool. It, like, has to be her idea.
Sure.
The other day, I forget what it was, but, like, I put something in front of her. Like, let's say it was the fork. Mm-hmm. I put the fork in front of her on her plate, and then she put the fork back and then picked it up herself and put it back.
Real quick.
Oh, I wasn't recording?
No, I was. Oh. I get paranoid when I can't see it.
Oh, okay. Paranoia.
So we'll just take that back. I just want to, yeah, so you can see. Okay.
We're good?
Yes. I need to stop drinking coffee.
No, never.
Just for today, like, I'm getting,
when you're dehydrated, cotton mouth, and it's the caffeine. It's telling me, you've had enough caffeine, but it tastes good.
I don't ever have that problem.
I need to drink water.
Also, my sinuses are getting stuffy. That's also too much caffeine for me. Weird,
it has
huh?
It must be so difficult to be you sometimes. I feel like everything affects you.
You're
and
so
I'm like,
down.
Just push through. Tell your body no.
Tell your body no. Rosie would.
Yeah. It's got to be a eldest daughter thing.
Must be. How was your weekend?
Oh, it was fabulous. My parents and family were all here this past week, and they actually left on Friday, so I was actually able to sleep at a regular time.
Because y'all were wilding out in these streets?
I think my mom was up at 5 a.m. every day.
Oh, uh-huh.
There was even one morning where...
she has an earlier time zone.
Yeah. Also, I was like, you're on vacation, relax. Like, you can sleep in. There was one time where I was trying to take a nap after it was the day they arrived and we all flew in and I was super tired because we just had a show weekend and I was trying to take a nap.
And that was a gnarly travel week.
It was crazy. And we have another one.
But even that one's not even as bad as this one.
And I was trying to take a nap. My dad was even taking a nap on the couch and all I could hear was just like cabinets and doors and drawers. And I was like, what? My house is clean. I was like, what? Are you like retidying my tidy? I was like, are you just being nosy, being snoopy? But she was like undoing. She likes to unpack her suitcase and lay everything out. And I it just was like doors, doors, doors. And I just thought, I was like, relax. Mm-hmm. You're on vacation. Stop doing stuff.
At what adult age do we become the person that automatically wakes up hella early? Like, no matter
what. There is always one. There is always one person.
Well, I feel like even as you get older, like, name one old person. Mm-hmm. And when I say old, let's say 60s, okay? Mm-hmm. And hey, shout out to everyone in their 60s who's like, I'm not old. This is just the age range I'm talking about, okay?
You are in the second half.
Name one 60-year-old that you know that sleeps in to like 10 o'clock.
None.
Not one.
None.
Not one. Because I think at a certain age, our bodies just wake up early. There's probably some scientific thing out there that I just don't know.
Probably.
But at a certain age, you start waking up earlier and earlier and earlier. And I remember my Tia Mary, we would laugh because her and Mike the old Mike, when he was still alive, when they were both still alive, they would wake up at 2 in the morning.
That's the middle of the night.
Yeah. They would wake up at 2 in the morning. And she said they would just lay there and they would talk and chat. And then they would get up and start their day closer to like 3:34. And they make coffee and da 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 da. But then they're also going to bed at like 5 p.m.
That's what I was wondering. I was like, what time is bedtime? Because I will say, and if we're going to get into matitudes, I've got one that goes along with this. Because I've got beef with those early risers. I'm such a night owl. I feel like I always have been, even before this job. But I feel like this job has made me even more of a night owl. And I get so annoyed when people are like, if you want to live your best life, if you want to be the best version of yourself, you got to wake up at 5 a.m. and get the day going and get starting and hit the gym and get the... And I'm like, shut up. Like, no, you don't. Okay, I actually thrive at a good 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. is when I get my most work done. I get so much work done during that time frame. And I like to relax in my morning. I like to wake up just when my body wakes up. And then I get my coffee and then I sit on the couch and I briefly glance at emails going, all right, I'll get to that today. And then I'll do a little tidying. And then usually by noon is when I'm starting my day. But I get everything done. Okay, I just do it on my own timeline. And I don't like to be told what timeline I have to follow.
Interesting.
To know when I'm productive. I feel like you just know the times that you are the most productive. But there's something about the early risers who think that the night owls are not nearly as productive. And wrong. Yeah. Disagree.
Yeah, I'm team early riser. But
you have, I feel like, okay, caveat.
Okay.
You have a child.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, my parents are early riser. They work in the education system. They're up at 5 a.m. because they got to be at school at 7.
That's right.
I don't have that job for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know my strengths.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And waking up
and then when you have a kid, we'll have a different conversation. But until then, enjoy your afternoon.
I still think that you can be a night owl even if you have children.
Sure. I'm not, but there are some out there, I'm assuming. Is that you? Shout out. Let us know if that's you.
Also, too, I have watched videos.
Jessie LaTorre.
Yeah.
She goes to bed so late.
Yeah.
She'd be going to bed so late. She'd be a night owl. And I'm like, you got two kids.
Yeah.
But they all are good at, like, sleeping in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're all... Well,
kids get good at that later in life.
Yeah. She'll text me at, like, 10:30 and be a full-on voice note of just catching up at 10:30 p.m. And I'm like, girl, one of my eyes is already asleep. Like, I can't even... What are you talking about?
Yeah. There is some science to it. I've read enough seen enough TikToks. I've even Googled it myself because I was like, should I be waking up? Like, I was like, am I doing it wrong? Like, this is just when I feel the most productive. Yeah. But I think there is some science to it. Mm-hmm. I don't know it.
I would say I am least productive in the 3, 4, 5 o'clock hour because that's when my body naturally shuts down for a nap. Now I don't take the nap.
Yeah.
Anymore. I used to. Oh, my gosh. I used to love a good nap.
A good 2 p.m. nap.
Oh, my gosh. A 2 p.m. nap.
Because then I think when you hit 4, it's too late.
Oh, no. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's definitely
at that
not.
Point, I'm like, no, it's just bedtime.
No. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So 2 o'clock, just a yummy, delicious nap. And I used to love taking those naps all the time. And honestly, a 2-hour nap, that's too long. You're going to be groggy for the rest.
30 minutes.
Even 30 minutes, a little bit short. 1 hour. Oh, a perfect 1-hour nap at 2 p.m. Love it. That's a good reset right there. But yeah, I don't take naps really anymore. If I do take a nap, then that means I was exhausted.
Yeah.
I
have tried to
least productive.
I have tried to cut back on my naps. I've noticed that when I nap the most is when we've had a show weekend.
Yeah.
And we fly back Sunday morning.
Yeah, yeah.
And I get home at like 11. I lay down on the couch and I'm out. Mm-hmm. I'm just because it's like the whole week, all the adrenaline. It's like an adrenaline crash, is what it is. Yep.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But anyway, my family was in town and we did lots of stuff, and that was. And then I saw friends. And
what was your favorite thing of the weekend? Give me your gratitude and gratitude of this time with your family. You already said your gratitude was your mom waking up early,
and it's fine. Because here's the thing, and to turn it into a gratitude, she would wake up that early, but every time I woke up, the kitchen was clean and coffee was ready. So but also she was fully dressed and I would come out.
Shoes like, on, ready to go.
Well, yeah, I would come out like my hair is a mess. I'm in pajamas. And she goes, I'm ready when you are. And I go,
no, I'm ready when you are.
I was like, do I look prepared? We got into so many fights about that too. Of she's just like, well, I'm ready. And I'm like, well, good for you. I just woke up. I'm not ready, clearly. What do you mean? You
said we had
a whole fight where it was like 9:30 a.m. and she was like, well, I'm ready. And I go, you said 11. You said we were gonna leave at 11. I'm not ready for 9:30 leaving.
The audacity.
It was. But that's just that's just how we communicate. So
I am dead at you just waking up with eye crust and hair everywhere in pajamas and your mom being like, I'm ready when you are. Dead.
And I'm like, okay, great.
Hilarious.
But I will say this. I did think about this on the drive over here because I was like, what are we going to talk about today? We prepare. And when my cousins, my parents were here, and my aunt and uncle and my cousins, Evelyn, who was turning 10, and Brooklyn, who is 7. She came out. It was their spring break, but it was also her 10th birthday. So we're like, let's do a big trip. LA. She's never done the LA stuff. And
of course, you took her to all the nightclubs. Got it.
Absolutely. Okay. Yep. Took her on Sunset Boulevard. VIP. Yep. Took her to the Troubadour. Uh-huh. Which I did because we ate next door at Dantana's. And then I said, oh, of course you did. This is the Troubadour.
Every time we talk about Dantana's, I've never seen it, never nothing. We went to dinner the other night at a little French restaurant at the corner.
Yes.
And as we're driving away, I saw Dantana's. I go, oh, that's Danielle's restaurant. It's right there. And then it's also right next to
Andy's.
Yeah, yeah, Andy's Lounge.
Which is right next to the Troubadour.
Okay.
Which is also historic Hollywood music venue. Elton John played there, etc. But I love Dantana's. Is it the best Italian food I've ever had? No, it's not. But it is the best vibe I've ever had. And it feels so old school. It's so Hollywood. Everyone who's worked there has worked there for years. Every time I go, everybody there just seems to know each other. I remember one time I took my mom. And
like regulars?
Regulars. I remember I took my mom and we were seated next to this couple on a Thursday night. And I remember the couple goes, yeah, we're here every Thursday night. And I was like, they were like, we have a standing reservation.
I love it.
And I just I was like, wow, that's goals. That's what I want one day. So and my cousin, we went there for her birthday dinner because she loves Italian food. We went to Disneyland. We went to the San Diego Zoo. We went to Santa Monica Pier. We did Rodeo, Beverly Hills Sign, Griffith, all the highlights. And here's my attitude with all of that is nothing makes me more crazy than people who do not have self-awareness. And in this case, physical self-awareness of just like, know what space you're in. Uh-huh. Be aware when you're at these, especially these like tourist spots where you know there's going to be a lot of people. I'm like, don't back up to take a photo. And I'm going, hello, hi, you're in my way. But also being aware of when someone's taking a photo.
Sure, sure, sure.
Because we're all there to do the same thing. So I'm like, yes, let's. I remember I did yell at someone. We were at Griffith and they have these wings and my cousins wanted to take pictures in front of the wings. It's a very LA thing. And there's people just like standing in front of it, not doing anything. And I'm everyone was just sort of standing there and like other people were like, are you taking? And I literally go to the people standing in front. I go, are y'all taking a picture or not?
Oh,
I said, what are you doing?
Oh.
and they just were like, oh no, we're not. And I go, okay, well then can you please move out of the way? Cause there's people here that want to take photos. And I made everyone else line up. I got the rest of the
You turned it into a meet and greet.
I did. I was like, there are people here, who might be on a schedule, which we were, That was the morning that I was taking them to airport, and I said, we can be at Griffith for an hour, and then we have to leave because we have to get to the west side of town. We have to get by the airport. That was the thing, too, is I felt like my aunt never fully grasped LA traffic, and I was like, please, trust when I say we need an hour. But it was, and I just thought, I was like, and to me, it was so rude because it was teenagers. All right, I do have beef with the youth. And I just thought, be aware. There are people here who are trying to enjoy the same thing that you're enjoying. And let's all enjoy it together and be respectful of each other and each other's time and space. And because I had the same thing, too, at the zoo. Because here's the thing. I'm an adult who likes to see animals, too. I want to see the pandas and the giraffes or whatever. But also, my cousin is like barely 4 foot. So I'm going to make sure she can see. I'm going to make sure she's in front of me. 100. And I even like, if there were other kids around, I was like, oh yeah, here, get in. Like I'm taller. I can see over you, but there would be like adults shoving people out of the way. And I just thought, you're a grown adult. Like you can see the giraffe. They are tall.
Yeah.
All right. Step back here. Let the little kids get close. Like and also too, I was like, you can wait your turn. Just like wait your turn. It's fine. We're all here to see the same thing. Uh-huh. And it's a busy day. It's spring break. Yeah. Like you knew that going in. And so I'm like, just be aware of that and be prepared for that and know. And I even heard this woman when we were walking by. I heard this woman go to her kids. She goes, listen, there's a lot of people here. So today we're going to work on giving people space and giving people grace. And I said, I can do the space thing, but I was like, I'm gonna struggle with the grace thing.
Cute mom.
But it was cute. It was very teachery. I immediately turned to my mom and I was like, did you hear that? Do you say that? Is that a thing you say in your classroom?
That's good. Yeah.
I need to
say that to my little group when we go places. There's a lot of, mainly to Manny, there's a lot of cars on the road. We're gonna work on giving people space and grace.
And that's the thing too, is also knowing, I go, listen, if you're driving and you get turned around, you don't just stop in the middle of the road. No. Same goes with walking.
Pull off.
Yeah. If you are walking, you know, towards Toontown and you're like, I didn't mean to go here, don't stop in the middle of the road.
Yeah. I feel like in big crowd situations, whether it's theme parks or music events or anywhere.
Farmers market.
Anywhere in big crowds, it becomes a every man for himself type
mentality
for everybody there. And I think especially if you paid a lot of money to be there,
sure,
people trying to get theirs.
Oh sure. The worst was Disney, because obviously everybody pays, you know, so much to be there, and they're like, this is our only day. And I go, that's great. So
and they flew in from wherever.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, that's also their story and their story and their story.
They don't care.
And I'm like, just be aware and be respectful. And also too, a lot of the times people, I think it takes a lot of time away. Mm-hmm. And I go, it really doesn't. It takes 2 seconds to just, you know, oh, hey, here you go. Go ahead. Right there.
Yeah.
There's where you need to be.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's a very good attitude. You laid it out for all of us to feel. We felt it. Felt it when you yelled at those kids. I was like, dang, I hope this not happening at my meet and greets though. Oh my god. I'm gonna get all the DMs. I just have to let you know, that girl running the meet and greet was mean to me. What's my attitude of these days? I feel like I've been working on the grace thing for people and trying not to get annoyed. I mean, a lot of my attitudes come back to Manny. Let's see. What has my husband done to irritate me lately? Let's see. A good attitude for me these days. I feel like I'm going to do the same things. Like, oh, the heat. We had a heat wave and it was way super hot and whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I will say, okay, this is a silly attitude, but it's been annoying me.
Yeah.
I'm very particular about Bonzo getting groomed, right?
You are, yes.
So I'm like, the way they do his haircut, does he feel comfortable with that person? Woo, woo, woo. And so we had a girl here in LA that loved, but she got a new job. And so she wasn't doing grooming anymore. So So I'm like, okay. And she would do it private. Like I would go to her house, drop him off at her house.
Like a side gig for her kind of?
Yeah. She used to work at a place mm-hmm. and then left the place and started doing her own thing at her house. Mm-hmm. And then she got like a corporate job.
Yeah.
So she stopped doing
it. She said, I'm out of this gig business.
Then I found this other guy through a friend of a friend and he was great. But this is my attitude. He rarely responds to me.
Mm.
Like he does a great job with Bonzo and he's quick too.
But lack of communication.
Lack of communication. And then I'll be like, bump, hello. Hey, just checking in. Do you have availability for Bonzo? And days. I've texted him multiple times over the past week. And then he'll probably end up texting me like the day we're flying out and be like, hey, I could be there by 2 today. No.
Yeah.
I can't. I needed you by 2 last week
because
we're leaving now. And I wanted him to be cute on the plane. Thank you.
Yeah.
So I think, I guess lack of communication, but just especially, even if you've been bumped, because I suffer from the lack of communication. Sometimes you got to bump me, be like, hey, did you see this? Be like, oh, shoot. Sorry. So many things. There's 42 text messages on my phone. But also, this is your business.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
That's what's surprising to me is that no sense of urgency, like no motivation.
And then part of me, I go, did he die? Is he okay? Because that's my number one thought with everything. If nobody replies to me, I'm like, they died.
I know. And my thought is they're mad at me.
Oh my God, he died. That's what I have. That's the only logical explanation.
Yeah.
He died. Okay. And we're back. I had to go, I feel like my nose was running, so I had to go get a tissue. I recently was at a party, and Manny is in a conversation with a person, a friend of ours, and this friend of ours, his nose is running, and I can see a full drip ready to just drop. No, he does. So here's the thing is, he had already wiped like a couple times. You know how when you have a runny nose and like if you just do a quick one of these,
can't get ahead of it.
No, exactly. As you got to pause for the tissue.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like in the middle of conversation and he already wiped a couple times. And so you could tell he doesn't want to just keep going like this on his sleeve.
Yep.
And it's right there. And he's like refusing to get it. No. And I'm like, oh no, I'm getting real grossed out. Oh no. And so then I get up and I go grab a napkin and I just like nonchalantly just hand him a napkin like in the midst of like doing things. And then he's like, oh, thank you. Yeah, it's allergies, man. And I was like, yeah, no worries. Whatever. Like I didn't want to make it a big deal. But also I knew you knew and I know you know I know. So let's just handle this nose dripping situation.
You're like, I got you. Wink, wink.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Tried to be as nonchalant as possible, but hard to do that.
Oh no.
Anyway,
you were complaining about lack of communication.
Lack of communication.
Yeah.
And I mean, I wish I could just go to any random groomer and just be like, hey, here's my dog, groom him. But
sometimes it's risky.
It's so risky. It's like dropping your kid off at daycare. I don't know these people.
Oh, I don't know that that's the same.
A little different. Like the first day at daycare.
Okay.
I would be that way. I would be like, I want everybody's background check. I want turn the cameras on. I want a live feed this whole entire time. But I'm a helicopter mom, so. I wonder how long I'm going to be a helicopter mom. Probably forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I see both examples. I see my friend who's a helicopter. She was. Her kids are grown now. And I watched her whole life, and I used to be like, girl, that is too much. Let go of the reins. And then I see the other moms on the other spectrum. I'm like, are you going to
jump in?
You're going to jump in? He's drowning. You want to go get him? You know? Mm-hmm. I wish I could find myself in the middle somewhere.
Yeah.
I feel like I lean helicopter, but I'm not. When I think about my friend and how helicopter, I don't think I'm that helicopter, but maybe I am. You think I'm that helicopter?
A little bit, maybe, but not like an extreme case. I feel like I've seen extreme cases. I feel like I have an extreme case in my life. Not my mom, but a mom that's in my life. And my only fear with that And I know you're all going to be like, you're not a mom. You don't understand. Okay, well, shush for just like 2 seconds. My only fear with that, and that's because I've known kids from helicopter parents. You don't want, there becomes a time where it's like, they like leave. They're like, I've had too much of this. I can't deal with you anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm out. Bye-bye. Don't ever talk to me again. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like there is a little bit of risk with that. If you hold the reins so tight that they're, once they leave, they like leave.
Yeah.
You know, and also too, the helicopter parent that I'm thinking of is like half that, but also half like does everything for their kid. And on top of being helicopter, and I'm like, you are setting them up for failure.
Yeah, totally.
They don't know how to live in the real world, mm-hmm. and how to prepare and how mm-hmm. to do their own laundry and things like that. So I don't think you're that kind of case. Mm-hmm, I think you're very much, you know, let Rosie do things and you don't do everything for her. So, you know, I think you're okay for now.
We'll check in next year. Each year we'll check in how helicoptery I am.
Yeah.
Okay. So you did your gratitude from the weekend as well.
Sort of. Did I?
I don't know. Because you were saying, I'm going to turn this into a gratitude. I don't know. Oh. Did you?
Yes and no. I mean, it was a great week. It was super fun. My cousins went on the Incredicoaster at Disneyland, which goes upside down. And that's what they kept talking about the whole time, was that they went upside down. So it was just a really good... It was a good week. I am the one who suggested this trip. And
so did you feel some responsibility for it has to be good?
Yes. Yeah, I did. And I definitely put a lot of pressure on myself whenever we were at Disneyland to make sure everybody got what they wanted and everybody was having a good time and just everybody just had, I don't know, just got what they wanted. And because I also didn't know, I even was trying to enjoy a lot of the stuff too, because the whole time I was going, I don't know the next time I'll be in San Diego because I'm moving. And so that was sort of the catalyst of this trip. Mm. I don't know if that's the right word. My aunt brought it up over Christmas, how she was like, oh, we're thinking about doing a trip for Evelyn's 10th. And it's originally said Denver. And I said, well, what if you come to LA? Like, we do LA stuff. Because they had been to Disneyland, but we never done LA stuff. And my parents...
Think they enjoyed it?
I think so. Yeah, my parents came out. They were already planning to come out too, as well, because of me moving. And my mom the whole time was like, before she left, she was like, this is the last time I'll be in this apartment.
Oh.
And I was like, can we not? Like, I was like, can we not say things like that right now? Like, this apartment is very sentimental to me, but I was like, get out of my house. Like, I can't deal with this right now.
Do you think you'll be that way?
I don't know.
As it gets closer?
I think so. To me, it doesn't feel real yet. My dad was going, he was like, yeah, we got to book my flight. And I go, I'm not doing anything until I have a signed lease. I was like, I haven't even picked what days we're leaving. I haven't even attempted to sell any of my stuff because to me, it's not real until I have a signed lease. And I know I have a place to go. Mm-hmm. And... so I think it'll feel real then.
Then you'll start saying goodbye to your apartment?
Yeah, probably.
Do you think you will be that person, though?
That says goodbye to my apartment?
Yeah, like, are you emotionally...
attached to my apartment?
Yeah.
Absolutely, I am.
Okay.
I've already been thinking about... I've been in this apartment for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's seen a lot of roommates. It's seen a lot of paint colors. It's seen a lot of furniture. When I first moved in, I had an orange beach chair and a coffee table. That was it. That was
wow.
All I had. And now I would argue I have too much stuff. But I already had this art project in mind where I wanted to take... because I also... not only is my apartment sentimental, but where I live is very sentimental to me. And I do know that in searching for a place in Nashville, I know that I have been trying to recreate... where I live, and that just doesn't exist out there.
Yeah.
And so that's been really hard for me, but because it's just a very walkable little area, and there's stuff, and there's a grocery store, and there's a coffee shop, and there's a Thai food place, and there's just all these things that I can walk to and be in like a city area, and that's not necessarily an option in Nashville. And so that part I think I'm really sad about. But I came up with this, I have this framed photo on, I have a gallery wall where I have this framed photo of this front door, and I don't know whose door it is. It's just a piece of art that I bought. And I thought, oh, I would love to do replicate this, but with my apartment front door.
Oh, cute.
And because I've always had this same wreath on it. And then I thought, oh, I want pictures of all my favorite spots in Burbank. Because I kept thinking, like, I wish I had something to have a, like a sentimental something or another for Burbank. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't want like a Burbank t-shirt or a Burbank magnet. Yeah, yeah. And I was like, that's not... I don't want like a souvenir, but I wanted a souvenir. Mm-hmm. And so I decided, I was like, oh, I'll take pictures of my favorite areas in Burbank, my favorite stuff in mm-hmm. Burbank, and then I'll frame each one individually and add it to my gallery wall to where it's a little bit, it just looks like it's a part of it. And I know it's from Burbank, but not, maybe not everyone else necessarily looking at it knows that.
So the picture of your door will be one, like a 5x6 mm-hmm. type of thing.
Yeah, oh, cute, yeah, yeah. Cute, cute. And then there's a couple of restaurants that I frequent a lot, and like a market that I want to take a picture. Like these things mm-hmm. I want to take a picture of, just because I go there all the time, and I'll miss going.
For
there.
Some reason, I thought you were talking about like the picture of your door being like big, and you were gonna take the pictures of everything else and put them on the door.
No, oh, I'm just going to have probably like 4x6, 5x7s, like yeah. no bigger than this right here if you're watching. Uh-huh. And it'll, I already have different pieces of art and photos that I've collected over the years that kind of create this wall. And I want to continue the wall wherever cute. I live. So I'll just add in those little elements to it.
What makes you think you can't find that in Nashville?
Because I haven't found it. I haven't, I don't even know what area.
Yeah, but you just town. Did one day of looking at apartments.
No, but I'm saying like I've, but I'm like, what area has that? Like 12 South? I don't know.
Yeah.
Like,
well, there's no major grocery store in 12 South, but yeah. not too far from there is Publix. Mm-hmm. There's a little market by my house.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like there's, we can find mm-hmm. that.
I have, sure. yeah, I have mentioned it to my apartment finder guy that I'm working with that I'm like, I just want something walkable. Like I want mm-hmm. to be able to walk to some sort of
not downtown.
I don't want to walk downtown, like no. Broadway, but I'm saying
gross.
Just, it's hard. I'm like, how do I describe downtown Burbank? It's just like this little street.
Little town.
Just little town.
Put me in a town. Okay. He's like, great, you're in Franklin. You're like, no,
that's too far.
yeah. We'll find it. Yeah. We'll find your perfect place.
Yeah. So I think I'm more sentimental about the area.
Yeah.
I've always loved Burbank. I've always...
Mm-hmm. Burbank's a great city.
Yeah. Everyone's always tried to get me to leave it. And I...
Refuse.
I refused.
You're like, I am Armenian. I am staying.
I'm staying. I'm a part of the mafia.
Yeah. Armenian. Well, Glendale is... mostly Armenian, but you're very borderline Burbank Glendale.
I am.
So you're still, you're right on the Armenian cusp.
I walk into Glendale all the time because it's part of my neighborhood walk.
Uh-huh. Totally.
I can tell the street signs.
I used to live Glendale. I used to live not too far from you a long time ago, and I would go to that library up there, up on the hill. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that was my DMV over there.
Did you ever go on that little strip on Kenneth? That has some random...
Oh, a little restaurants and stuff? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, super cute.
Yeah, I walk all the way there and walk all the way back. If
Cutie. Yeah, it's a very...
a decent walk.
Very cute area. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's move into a gratitude for me that I have. Now, I always give my brother a shout out because he's the best Nino in the world. And he's so good with Rosie. And this is like... part Mattitude, gratitude. Mattitude, I'm separating them. Like, I'm already sad thinking about going back to Nashville mm-hmm. and my brother being here in LA. Because I love spending time with my brother, but also I just love seeing Rosie with my brother. So my saditude. My sad attitude is separating Rosie from her Nino because they are best friends. Their new thing right now is Rosie is friends with the bees.
Sure.
But the dead bees.
Right.
So they'll find a dead bee on the ground.
Okay.
And Rosie will start talking to it and be like, "Hi, bee. Do you want to come watch me swim in the pool?" And then Mitchell will pick up the bee by its little wings and go, "Yes, Rosie, I do want to." And so every time they find a dead bee, it's her friend Bee. And so Mitchell does the voice of the bee. And just the other day, Manny goes, "Why is there a dead bee on the shelf?" So mad. And then both me and Mitchell were like, "It's Rosie's friend. Leave him there." And we're like, "Don't throw it away," because he throws away everything. We're like, I know it just looks like a dead bee on the shelf, but don't throw it away. That is Rosie's friend. And like, it really has become her friend. And she'll see the bee on the shelf because there's like bees all over the shelf now, because every time they find one, they bring it in. And then she'll be like, "Oh, hi, bee." Like, she's so into her friend Bee. And I love that my brother just goes along with it. He does a full bee voice and everything. He left a voice note when we went to Disney. He was like, "It's me, Bee. Rosie, have fun. Maybe I'll see you at Disneyland." Like, in case we saw a bee there, like, she could be like, "Oh, there's Bee." So that's how cute they are. And I hate that I'm separating them. And yeah, that's my sadditude. And then obviously my gratitude is just my brother again, just so solid with Rosie. And I love that.
Should we take Rosie to a park with kids her own age? Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. She seems to be doing pretty good with the adults in her life, though. Another gratitude that I have is from this past weekend, we got to go to my friend's son's art show.
Cute.
Nico. He's 14 years old.
Okay.
He's an incredible artist.
What kind of art?
He does, it's almost like doodles, but I really don't even know how to describe it. Mm-hmm. But somebody saw his artwork. Because my friend Mike was posting it on Instagram, posting it online. Somebody saw it and wanted to partner with him, and they made a bunch of merch out of his artwork. So they have like tote bags, shoes, sweaters, t-shirts.
Fun.
And it's so cool. So we went to this art show that was all teenagers. It was music artists, bands, and artists, and it was all for kids. So these are kid artists, like, yes, encouraging creativity for the youngs. And a bunch of different, it was like a competition, like battle of the bands. And they were all teenagers, and it was the cutest little thing. They were rock bands. They were full-on rock bands. And Mitchell came with us, and he was like, "Oh, has Rosie's never heard rock music?" And I was like, "Oh, contraire."
What? What do you mean?
I was like, that is...
That girl lives for the rock and roll.
She loves it. I said, Danielle's already got this covered. She has taught Rosie some good rock songs. Rosie now does like this with her rock.
She'll do rock and roll hair.
Yeah, she likes rock and roll hair. She is in it. So I'm grateful that we got to go be a part of that, because I miss out on a lot of things in my friends' lives because we are traveling so much. And I'm so glad that we were here in town and we got to go support and just be there with the family and just be a part of our friends, things that are important to them. I'm happy when I get to be a part of those things for my people.
Yeah.
That's one of my gratitudes. You have another gratitude?
That's good.
As of lately?
As of lately. Again, getting sentimental about the move and stuff. But I also got to spend a lot of time this weekend with my friend and her daughter, who's close. She's three already. She's only about, I think, 6 months older than Rosie. And I had this realization. It was my friend's birthday as well. And we went to a bar and just, you know, you're in your mid-30s. So sometimes we just go to a bar and we sneak a cake in from Baskin Robbins. And that's what she wanted. She wanted an ice cream cake from Baskin Robbins. And
this is the 3-year-old?
No, this is my friend who turned 36.
Okay. And, sorry. I was like, wow. She was like, "I just want a cake and a bar."
It's a twofold story. And first it was the birthday party with my friend. And I was just sitting there. And there was a moment where the guys were sitting at one table and us girls were sitting at, at another table, and I thought it was adorable that we had separated somehow. Like, we were just like having girl talk, because at one point we were talking and my friend's husband came over and we go away.
Yeah.
Not right now.
We're talking about periods.
I was like, stop. And we were talking about one of his friends. And and there was several moments where we were chatting and I'm in the conversation, and then I would get like real sad. Because I was like, oh no. And then, because then my friend who has the daughter, I'm not gonna say who it is, but she's expecting another baby. But I was like, I wasn't really announced to anyone. But I was like, oh, I'm gonna miss this.
Aww.
And so that was kind of like a bummer realization. And then, but then I got to spend time with her daughter this weekend, and we walked to the marina, and she was so excited to show me all the boats, and as if she knew all the boats. You know, three-year-olds, they're very confident. Mm-hmm. And she'd be like, oh, Danielle, there's a big one over here. And I said, oh, okay, show me the big one. And then it was just like a little dinghy. And I was like, mm-hmm. all right, I don't think we understand what big and small means yet. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that was just so fun to be with her and, you know, spend time with them. And then it's also my friends on top of that. And I don't know, it just...
Making your rounds.
Yeah. And I'm also trying to, you know, we've been on tour this whole year and it's come to a close. And yes, I'm about to hopefully sign a lease, and then that becomes real. And then all of a sudden, like, even my friends were like, well, we only have like 6 more weekends. And I was like, don't say that. Like, to me, it seems like I have so much more time, but it's quickly catching up to me.
Yeah.
And I just am very much like, well, we can do it this weekend and we can do this weekend. And we have a Disney day planned because they all want to go to Disney with me leading the troops.
Yeah.
And I even have a friend flying in town for it. And I was like, you don't even live here and you're coming to do this.
That's like your goodbye party.
I told everyone I don't want that. Like, it all started with my best friend's sister coming in town and just being like, I want to go to Disney. And,
okay.
And Sarah was like, well, I'm not going without Danielle. And I was like,
Duh.
So I was like, I would be mad if you did. And then she just opened up the invite and everyone was like, oh, well, this is our chance to go with Danielle before she moves. And so now the list is up to 10 people, which is a very large group of
that's
people.
That's a lot of fast passes to coordinate.
Yes. And I was already like, oh, okay, it's a lot of people. But I love doing it, so I don't mind. But I was telling my friends, I was like, I don't want necessarily like a big party. I just want to spend time with you guys every given moment that I have left. Mm-hmm. And I don't want there to be like, this is the goodbye. I don't want that. I just want us to be together every week. All my friends, they're
Are
all...
Are you going to Irish goodbye your own goodbye? No. You're just going to leave one day?
No, they'll know what day. I'll tell them what day. But I don't want it to be a big thing. I normally am a big party person. I had a big birthday party last year. Like, I love birthdays and parties and Christmas.
Is it because you don't want it to be emotional? Or
I think so. I don't want it to be this big thing. I don't know. I want it to feel regular. I want it to feel like, I would love for everyone to come over and have a pool party because I have the pool in the friend group and we have pool parties. And I'm like, I would love to do that hopefully before.
Yeah.
Just for fun.
Everybody bring a long chair because all my stuff is packed already.
Yeah, truly. And, but I also, I have April is a big birthday month for my friends. And so we have a trip planned to go to Ojai for the day for one day, and we're getting tattoos. And
you're getting another tattoo? What is it?
I am getting like a crescent moon. We're all getting like tattoos that are sort of similar. They're kind of mystical,
outer space, witchy.
Mystical. They're a little bit more witchy in a way. Like, don't get mad at me. I love the Lord. Okay, everyone calm down. But I also
am getting a satanic cult symbol on my arm. It's just because I like the shape.
I'm getting a, I already have a planet on my arm. I'm getting a crescent moon with a face. And that will kind of match.
The face of a demon.
No.
Of a woman.
No. And because one of my
friends.
She
is God.
No, stop. Stop. No, it is not. God created the moon. Okay, everybody calm down. Okay. So, that's like I have this ring that's a sun and a moon. And I sent a picture of it to my mom when I got it. And she was like, well, what kind of spell are you trying to cast? And I said, the Lord created the sun and the moon. That's all I'm going to say to that.
Yeah.
Okay. So calm down. But I like one of my friends is getting a black cat, which she has a black cat. She's having the artist like make it look like hers.
Cute.
Another friend of mine is getting another
and demonic.
Continue. Stop.
Sorry. Go ahead.
But anyway, so they're all like kind of like in
no,
the
go,
same.
Go all of them. Tell us all. Okay. Just kidding.
And then I can't remember my other friend, I think, is getting like a bushel of flowers with like little stars. Like they all kind of have like little star elements to it.
Okay.
So, but it's just like.
But you're all going together at the same time.
Yeah. We're all
going
to go together at the same place.
Cute.
And although since my one friend is pregnant, she now cannot get hers.
Oh, that's right.
You can't do that. So, but she was like, I get another ear piercing. And I was like, all right, cool. Join the fun, you know? But yeah, so just planning things like that. And my other friend wants to do a ghost tour. And because these are just all the things that we usually do together.
Yeah.
And it is like seeming like a lot adding up, but I also want to do all of that as well. And My only frustration is that they all have like regular 9-to-5 jobs, and I go, well, if you guys could go with me on a Wednesday afternoon, that would be great. You know, I have.
Where are you getting it? Right there next to your.
I'm gonna do it up kind of more in. Up in this area. I don't know for those listening. I don't know how to describe what I'm saying. It's on
your
my
bicep.
Arm. My bicep. Yes, my bicep. Yeah. Because I want her to kind of match the tattoo that I already have. Make it look like they're in the same family.
Same vibe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. So just trying to spend as much time with them as possible. And, you know, we've already, I have my friend's wedding in the fall as well that I'll be back for. And already talked about coming to LA for Thanksgiving, and which my sister was really mad about. Because she was like, well, what am I supposed to do? And I said, I don't know.
Oh.
What do you could come
what
here.
What do you typically do?
Well, I'll be honest. Majority of the time I've lived in LA, I have stayed in LA for Thanksgiving. Oh. And only in just the past few years has it worked out for me to go home for Thanksgiving.
Because of touring. Yeah.
And my sister apparently has gotten used to that. And when I told her I was thinking of going to LA for Thanksgiving, she was like, why? You're going to abandon your family? And I go, I have already in the past. And I was like, I usually don't come home for Thanksgiving. I was like, it's only just been the past few years. And she was saying abandon your family. Really, she was just saying abandon her.
Yeah,
she
yeah.
was mad. And I was like, well, you can come with me to LA.
Yeah.
And she just goes, ugh, just talk about it later. It's like, okay, ma'am.
I love the whole getting tattoos with your friends. My siblings and I have talked about getting a matching tattoo.
You not necessarily. Have any, do you?
I have not one tattoo.
Yeah.
But you're not necessarily matching,
but all
in the
your
vibe.
Siblings have tattoos, right? Does Veronica have tattoos?
Yeah. They all have them. They're
You've abstained.
Yeah. I'm the only one.
Your body is a temple.
Let me tell you, my body is a temple. I shall not do stuff to it. Philippians 2:11. I just can't decide on what I would want for the rest of my life. So my sister and I send tattoos back and forth. We send some that are like for all the siblings, for all of us to get together. And then we'll send some that are just for me and her, like sisties.
Oh, this tattoo is a sister tattoo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So me and my sister want to do a sister tattoo. And we just can't decide. Like I want it to be super meaningful, but not right on the nose. Like something like, what are we getting? Like the coordinates to where you live and where I live, like not that, but like, you know, something that's mm-hmm. like not on the nose, but something that's for us. She loves hummingbirds. Maybe I get a little hummingbird for her. Mm-hmm. And then this goes back to the how I have no passions thing is what would she put for me? We couldn't think of anything that she would put for me that would make sense. Like a hummingbird, we know exactly. That's my sister. Well,
my tattoo that I have with my sister is a phrase that our grandmother used to always tell us. So that's what we decided on. It was actually my sister's idea.
That's cute.
So it wasn't anything that we like. Or, mm-hmm. I mean, we like it. Obviously, yeah. we got it tattooed, but mm-hmm. it wasn't like our passions or hobbies. It was just a very sentimental phrase that we heard our whole childhood growing up.
I had a great tattoo idea for a friend of mine that her dad had passed away. I don't know if she ever did it. When I say a friend of mine, it was somebody I met working on a show that I was on. That we were filming for like a month. Mm-hmm. So she was my friend during that season, you know, and you know, you lose touch, whatever. Anyway, sure. Her dad had passed away and she had this voicemail of him that she would listen to. And it was just like him saying, I love you. Mm-hmm. Right. And I was like, what if you get the like printout of the actual audio, you know, like
the sound waves,
the sound waves of him saying, I love you. And mm-hmm. then put it behind your ear.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, you're cute. Always like listening to yeah. him say, I love you or something like that. I thought it was such a great yeah. idea.
Cause I've definitely seen people where they'll pull out like an old birthday card from their mom or something mm-hmm. where it says, I love you. And they'll get that in her mm-hmm. handwriting tattooed. I've seen that before too.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought that was a great idea.
Yeah.
If that's cute. God forbid, somebody dies in my life, I will take that idea right back.
I know, because your brothers have a lot of tattoos, and I mean, they seem very just down to get whatever, you know?
Their face, their neck, they don't even care.
No.
And I'm just like, I can't even get one little dot. Like,
I mean, I'm definitely a team. Tattoos don't have to be sentimental, you know? It is another art form, and sometimes people are just like, thought it was cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'm definitely not getting one of those. I'm definitely not getting a thought it was cool tattoo. Mine's going to mean something. I've thought about it for a very long time. Oh, yeah. I will get it one day. Mm-hmm. We haven't decided on it. We haven't found the thing that we're like, yep, this is it. This is the one. We keep sending, ooh, what about this? Ooh, what mm-hmm. about this? None of them have been like, that's the one.
That's the one.
I don't know.
Yeah.
One day, though. I'll get a tattoo.
My tattoos have gotten, I think, more sentimental over the years. I only have three, but as far as, like, the order that I got them.
Did you have to hide it from your parents when you got a tattoo?
No.
You told them?
Mm-hmm.
You're like, I'm getting a tattoo or I got a tattoo?
I think the first one I said I'm getting a tattoo.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is it?
I got it when I was 18. I think so. I think they were like, what is it? And I remember saying like, oh, I'm getting on my foot. And my mom was like, so you could cover it with a sock? And I go, yeah. And she was like, okay. I'll be honest. My parents didn't really care about my tattoos. They cared more about my nose ring.
They were mad. Did you tell them ahead of time or you just came home?
The nose ring, I don't think I told them. I think I just showed up. I think I just
And what did they say?
My mom was just like, it's your face. It's on your face. And I was like, I can take it out anytime I want.
Yeah.
Never did.
Yeah.
My sister went with me. I took my sister. We got them together. But my sister took hers out, I think, 6 months later. She didn't like it. She was not into it.
I forget you have a nose ring all the time.
I feel like it's honestly, a lot of people forget.
Has Rosie ever mentioned it?
No. Nope.
Like, ever looked at it and said
something? I
don't think
so. It's so interesting. I think I've had it for so long that it's just a part of my face at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I've had it since I was 22, I think.
Wow.
When I got it.
Do you ever take it out?
Sometimes. I started out with a stud and then I switched to a hoop, I think right when I moved here. So 10 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And I used to do background work. So I would often have to take it out for if I was ever in like a period piece, or depending on.
Imagine Game of Thrones. You're like, hey.
Well, though.
Never mind.
It just depended on what the scene was, who I was playing.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes they would have me take it out. Sometimes I could leave it in because it didn't matter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was cast as a college student a lot. So when I was a college student, they didn't care. There was one time I was cast as like a mom, like in like the background of like a nursery or something.
They're like, so ma'am, I'm you're too cool.
They're truly. And then there was a few times where I did Young Sheldon. They didn't like it. I had to take it out for Young Sheldon.
Oh, wow.
And, but then I did Goldbergs, which was set in the '80s, and they were like, kind of, they were okay with it. They're like, yeah, it's cool. You're at a club, you know, whatever. So it really just depended on where I was. If I wasn't visible,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah. there, I was also booked as a jogger a lot. In parks, I don't know what, there was a brief moment where like, I want to say 3 weeks in a row, I was just a jogger
hilarious. In
a park for various different shows. It was jogger or college student were my two main go-to bookings.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't really care so much.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I don't think I've taken it out since I stopped doing that.
What was your least favorite background show you've worked on?
It was probably any time that it was like a cattle call.
Oh.
When I would show up and I was like, oh, there's 400 of us.
Yeah.
Those I hated. I did not.
The beach scene.
The beach scene. Yeah. Yes. I did a scene at Santa Monica Pier one time for 911. I did two episodes of 911.
You did?
I did. There was one where I was on the Santa Monica Pier, which was awful. Hated that. Hated it so much. I kept just like, here's the thing. When you're doing background, a lot of the people that are there they're trying to be actors. They're trying to, this is their day gigs.
Yeah.
I did not care. I was there for a check mm-hmm. and an excuse. And
craft service.
And craft service, an excuse to read my book. Truly. That, uh-huh. but I was getting paid to do it. I loved when they're like, oh, we need you for 6 more hours. I'd be like, great. Love it. I'll mm-hmm. be here reading my book. Yeah. I don't care. And I also had drove a cobalt blue car, so I often got booked with my car.
Yes, extra money.
And so, but I hated the shows that I were getting, and I at the time I had a friend who worked at
Central Casting,
and so sometimes she would just, here, I booked you on this, great, love it. And I hated when I would show up and there was like 400 of us mm-hmm. at the Santa Monica Pier. Ugh,
because awful. Then your holding room is just like little fold out chairs
under a tent. And it was hot. I remember it was so hot that day. Yeah. And there was just so many of us. And there's still those like eager beavers of like trying to be seen. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I'm going to go here. And I'm like, whatever. I want to stand behind this pole. Yeah. I don't care if I'm seen or not. It does not matter. And but then the second time I did 911, I was in a bus crash and I was
Ooh.
In the bus.
Oh.
Yeah. So that one was kind of fun.
Did you have to get like blood on you and stuff?
No,
you weren't a featured extra.
I was in the bus. And then once the bus had crashed, I think maybe I had died because they had me stand off to the side.
Yeah.
So whenever they were like fixing people, they uh-huh. were like, you're already, she's, listen, I'm in that body bag.
Dead on there. Impact.
Yeah.
Get over there.
Because I was, I sat on the bus and the crash came from behind me because I had to like fall forward. Like the impact had hit. Uh-huh. I was definitely dead on arrival.
Yeah. So you had to fall and they called action.
I did. I did have to fall forward.
Was there a mat on the ground?
No, they just had us like stay seated and just fall. I guess it was going to cut away. But my favorite ones were more of the smaller ones. I remember I did a full day on This Is Us and again, started the morning as a jogger. For one scene, and they had also booked me with my car. So in the morning I was a jogger for the modern day, and then after meal in the afternoon into the evening was the period
flashback.
The flashback when they were younger in the uh-huh. 90s, and so I had wardrobe change, and I remember they sent half of everybody home, but they kept me because they were like, oh, we need someone to walk in the neighborhood, and I just looked regular. Enough uh-huh. and they literally there was probably only maybe 12 of us that I had booked that day, and after meal break they go, okay, you, and they pointed to me and this other guy, and they go, you guys have cars, right? And I was like, yeah, we have our cars. And then they go, okay, everyone else, you're free to go home. And it was just me and this other guy. We were the only background left because they were doing some scene inside the house, but they show them in the front yard, like sure. they come out the front yard, and they wanted somebody walking on the other side of the street, and our cars were just used to be parked in the street.
Yeah,
that's what they were used for. And I think I was That was like one of my bigger paychecks. I was there all day. So that one was my favorite because it was just so chill.
What kind of check is that? So for people listening at home, when you do background work.
I mean, so that was easily 2018, 2019. So okay. This was a while ago. But the scale is on an 8-hour minimum. So oftentimes, I remember at that time, I believe it was like 165 for 8.
Oh, wow.
Then that was non-union. And
times went up. It was $86.
Yes. So I think at that point it was like 165 for 8. And I believe that day ended up being almost a 15-hour day.
Wow.
And so in the state of California, for most states, you don't hit overtime until you hit 40 hours for the full week. In the state of California, you hit overtime if you go over 8 hours in a day.
Oh.
So if you're hitting those, so as soon as you go past 8 hour, I'm getting time and a half.
Ooh,
for overtime. Uh-huh. And then it's like as soon as you hit 12, you're getting double.
Wow.
An hourly rate. Plus, if they go past 6 hours without a meal break, you get a meal penalty, which is like an extra $20 or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And then I was getting a bump for using my car, which I think was only like an extra $50. Like it wasn't anything super big. But I remember that was a good payday. And then I did have a few days of union work. I am SAG eligible. I just never bought into the union because it's so expensive. But I worked as a body double, and then I had friends who worked on the Goldbergs, so they booked me on the Goldbergs a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the body double one was cool.
What was that for?
Okay, I do not promote the show. I did a body double for Euphoria.
You don't like the show?
Season one. It's just really nasty. It's just really...
I've never seen it.
It's on HBO, and it's about these high school students, and I don't know what high school this is supposed to be, but they're all doing nasty stuff, okay? And drug addicts and sex and just all kinds of things.
So not the private school you went to.
No, it is not. And I never watched the show, and whether I worked on the show in background or as a casting manager, I don't ever watch anything that I remember I got the call from my friend who worked there, and she was like, hey, we need a body double. I think you're perfect for it. I've put you in for it. Show up to Sony on this day, whatever.
Like she a was dead like, body?
No, like a real, for the filming, they needed they were doing this like mirror scene.
Okay.
And so she goes, I think you're perfect for it. There's one other girl they're considering. She goes, but I can get you union status with it. And I said, okay, great. So, and union pay is almost double what non-union for. So I remember it was going to be closer to like $260 for 8.
Wow.
And here's the thing, it's an 8 minimum. So here's a great thing too, is like I either want to, whenever you're doing background, you either want to go over and hit that 12, 15 hour day, or you want to be done after 4 hours because you still get that full day of pay.
That's right.
So the day that I went in for the casting, I got a full 8 hour day, but I was only there for
just
an hour.
Just for casting?
Yeah. I literally came in, I got a SAG card. I got a union card I just came in, and they literally just looked at my body. They put me in a trailer, and the casting girl just came in and she was like, okay, turn around. I had to stand in my leggings and a sports bra, and she just was like, okay. She like, and then like the hair and makeup came in and like touched my hair, and they're like, okay, all right, thank you. That was it.
Bye.
So
here's your check.
Got my little paper, my union, whatever those things are called. I can't think of what they're called anymore.
Voucher.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, great. And I think at that point it was like 8 a.m. Like I got there, and I was like, what a great day.
Yeah.
Great day. Don't even know if I booked it, but I'm like, what a great payday.
Yeah.
So then maybe 2 hours later, she calls me and she goes, okay, they want you. You'll come in tomorrow to get your hair cut. And I said, oh, okay. So I booked
it. Cut your hair?
Oh, yes. But I get a full, almost a full extra pay of day for that.
Yeah. Okay. So they charge you a haircutting fee.
Yes. So I get a haircutting fee.
Uh huh.
And
did you even get to ask, wait, how much of my hair? Like, what do you mean?
I did. I kind of knew. She kind of gave me the rundown of it when I went in for the casting. She was like, they're going to have to cut your hair pretty short. And I, at that point, had maybe like shoulder length hair.
And they were going to go shorter?
And they were going to go shorter. And I, at that point, was also, I was doing a lot of different things to my hair. So I was like, sure, whatever. I don't care.
Okay.
And so the casting was on a Monday. So then she goes, okay, you're going to come back tomorrow on a Tuesday, and you booked it. Tuesday, they're just going to cut your hair. That's it. Nice. So I went in Tuesday and they gave me a bob.
It was a cute bob?
It was pretty cute.
Okay.
They gave me a bob and...
Were you scared? Oh my God.
I really wasn't. I was kind of like, they're professionals. So yeah. They gave me a bob and they also dyed it almost black.
Oh.
And to match the actress that I was being a...
Did you meet her? Did you get to...
Not that day.
Oh. Did you stand in front of her and do this?
Kind of, yeah. So that day they just came in and did my hair. And then they also looked at my, I have another tattoo. So they're like, okay, we'll cut that up. And they also painted my nails.
Oh.
Because my nails had to match. And so then the next day, so then that Wednesday was when I was going to go in for the filming. Mm-hmm. So that's how fast it happened is like, I found out Sunday night that they were doing that. So this was all they figured out
within a few days.
Like they were filming that scene Wednesday. So Wednesday morning I go in. Here was the other thing that I had to agree to was I was technically in lingerie.
Oh.
But it kind of felt like a swimsuit, I'll be honest.
Okay.
It was not scantily clad. Did you get a lingerie
pay bump?
No. But it was not a scantily clad. It literally felt like swimsuit bottoms, like high-waisted sure. swimsuit bottoms and a bralette. Like, that's chonies. Truly,
yeah.
That's truly, and it was, like, full coverage chonies, yeah. too. So, when they showed it to me, I was like, oh, this is fine. Yeah. Like, I was like, this yeah. is chill.
Just don't tell my mom, but it's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, it's fine. And, so the scene was this girl, the character, she was looking in the mirror, and then she turns away from the mirror and walks into her room.
Okay.
And it was really cool the way they filmed it. So the camera was technically behind me. Uh-huh. So when you first look at it, you think that when you see her, you think that's the reflection. But oh. I was the reflection, technically. Oh. So the camera was behind me and it went through the mirror, followed her into the room. Which was, the camera was huge. And so because of how big that's it was cool. and how small the space was, there was a guy to my left. And so we practiced, like she was also putting like a mask on. Mm-hmm. And so we practiced like matching each other's movement. Mm-hmm. And like, we even tried a few different things uh-huh. until we found what they wanted yeah. and what she felt comfortable with.
Yeah.
And so then practiced it a few times and then, okay, here we go. We're going
imagine
to film it.
Imagine they get it and you're like, actually, I'm not comfortable with that one. Can we try a different one?
I, the whole time, was just like, what do you want? What do you need? Uh-huh. Got it. And so there was a guy to my left and he had a robe and it was my robe. And his whole job was to pull me away so that the camera didn't hit me. And but because of how small it was, he literally would pull me by the arm. I would start to turn, matching her turn. And then he would pull me a little bit faster, wrapped me in the rope, and then just held me until they said cut. Because we couldn't move because of the camera.
Wow.
And so it was just me and this guy I just hugging. Met. And I was like, how's it going? Hey. And I just felt bad because I was like, this is just some PA. Like, this is just some guy holding this random body double, and I'm like, hello. And the reason too that I agreed to the haircut is they said they were going to use me for more episodes, and I never did. I never got called back. So that was kind of annoying because I thought I was going to get used sure. more.
But was the girl nice?
She was nice. Yeah, she's not on the show anymore. But I guess they just didn't have
I guess that's why you didn't get called back.
Well, she was there the full season, but they must not have just I think they had me. They were like, we'll call you if we need another one. Yeah. And I guess they just never needed.
Yeah.
There was just never another time where she needed a body double.
That's fine.
But I was my friend who worked there. She was like, you'll be the one they call.
Yeah.
And
that's cool.
And I said, OK, cool. But then she ended up just calling me for other stuff.
I had a friend who was a body double for Jenna Dewan.
Oh, nice.
And they had to do like dancing and everything. And there was a moment, I think, where she like kisses herself. And so she had to kiss Jenna Dewan.
How interesting.
I know.
My
what if they had said like, and you have to kiss your own reflection. So you have to kiss the girl.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. It was interesting though, because it was the mirror they had. Obviously, there was no mirror, so they just had double of everything. Right. So that was really trippy to see. But a friend of mine, she was called in to be a stand-in for Reese Witherspoon on a show, and she's my friend is 5 foot exactly. Uh-huh. And then she ended up being a stand-in for the character playing Reese's daughter as well. And she worked on the whole whole series. It was the Little Fires Everywhere show.
Oh, cool.
Something. I don't know if you remember that, but.
That's fun. I like to see, I mainly only know it from Friends, mm-hmm. when the stand-ins get cast mm-hmm. into the show.
Yeah.
Because I worked on the show for so long. So I knew who they were. So mm-hmm. going back into episodes, being like, oh. That's Jennifer Aniston stand-in playing that role right there. And like,
Matt
LeBlanc stand-in.
Stand-ins to me, I was like, you're a little bit further in the process too. And a little bit, I had several friends that worked as stand-ins. But then it's also interesting too how some people don't have any interest in, mm-hmm. Like my friend Kelsey, that is not what she wanted to do. She just took it because she needed a job.
Mm-hmm.
And this worked out, but she was like, I don't want to be an actress. Like, I don't want to be, this is just, I need a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I would meet several people like that I did background for a long time, and you would meet the people that were Little Miss Ohio trying to make it big, which by the way, Little Miss Ohio, I bring that up because I one time overheard a conversation where this girl, they were talking, they're like, where are you from? And she goes, oh, I'm from the East Coast. And this other girl goes, oh my God, me too. Where? And the first girl goes, oh, Philly. And she goes, Ohio. And I was like, ma'am, I go, just because you're on Eastern Standard Time does not mean you're on the East Coast. Get out of here. Ohio is not the East Coast. But I would meet a lot of people that were retired.
Oh, yeah.
And just needed something to do during the day. And I was like, this is a
great retiree job.
Yeah.
Love it. I'm like, going to tell my mom. When if she gets to Nashville,
honestly,
go be an extra.
It's so fun, especially those 911 episodes.
Yeah,
I forgot. I said I did two. I did three. I forgot there was another one I did, and it was a Halloween party, and a drag queen caught on fire.
Oh no!
Yeah,
that's very 911 of
them.
That's
very 911. Yeah, they reused a lot of background because they always had big scenes. Because sometimes they wouldn't let you it would say like, must not have worked this show. Sure. You know. Previously or something, which clearly, you know, Law and Order SVU doesn't care about that.
They don't care at all.
Yeah, but it is fun. If you're in the LA or if you ever get the chance to do background, it's fun. I think it's fun.
Yeah.
It can be long days.
Now you don't even have to be in LA. They have things filming everywhere. So if you see something pop up in your town where they need extras, give it a try.
Make sure it's paid. Okay, don't fall for the trick of that. They'll try to trick you in. Like, do you want the opportunity?
Uh-huh.
No, they'll pay you. Uh-huh. Get your money.
Yeah. If they say you're going to get paid in pizza, don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Only real union.
Yes, and if you can get a commercial, bigger pay.
Yeah, it's great.
Bigger pay for a commercial.
Well, thank you all so much for listening to this episode of Fungela, Danielle and I. Do we have a voicemail or anything? We're already way past the time.
I think it's okay.
Yeah.
But you guys should do our intro at the end or like tell people about it.
Yeah.
This is our intro.
Here's our outro today. Usually as an intro, now it's an outro.
Mm-hmm.
You've enjoyed this episode of Fungela. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to... subscribe, to leave us comments, to go leave a review on Apple Podcast, share with your friends,
and you can leave it on Spotify too, and you can leave comments can. There as well.
Oh, mm-hmm. you can, that's yes. right. I have seen some comments on Spotify.
Yes.
So you can go leave us comments on Spotify and call us or email us or text us and tell us your mattitude, your gratitude, or if you need advice and you want to ask us a question. Danielle, go ahead and give them that.
Yeah, so you can call us or text us at 747-300-5380. You can email at fungelapodcast@gmail.com. And of course, there's always the form on Angela's website. And please, I would also love to hear of all the different mattitudes and gratitudes that we have said or hot takes we've taken. I'd love to know your opinion as well on those too.
Oh, yeah. Let us know. What do you think? Do you disagree with us?
Yeah.
I dare you.
Or do you have another perspective?
Yeah.
That's also
give us another
option. Give me another
POV.
POV of Night Owl versus Early Worm or whatever it is.
Yeah. Until then, we'll see you on the next episode. Bye.